Hey, well, we're in the middle of a series this entire summer called Summer Camp. We're doing lots of different things. Last week, today's kind of a boring service, okay? But last week, we rolled all the fun stuff into last week. Last week, we had pop out in the lobby in troughs, and we went up on top of a mountain. We had our glow sticks and killed the lights in here and had a lot of fun. And we're doing some different things about every other week. And the reason for that is, the reason we're kind of changing it up, going through a summer camp process for all of us, even as adults, is for one reason and one reason only, that through all of those things, through all of the different things, through all the things that sometimes are weird or push us out of our comfort zone or something like that, that God would speak to us. And in that process would change our hearts and our minds. This series is based off of Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2. Paul is talking to the Romans that are believers, and he says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. As a believer, you need to understand that it's going to be intentional to not be conformed to the things of this world, the culture, the patterns of the world. But, Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That only happens with our relationship with God. As we go through these things this summer and do some different things, some fun things, we hope that God transforms your mind and draws you closer to Him. Amen? Well, great. I hope you grabbed your notes today. If you got an orange bulletin when you came in or on YouVersion, you can follow along with us. And I want to welcome everybody watching online. I'm glad that you're joining us today. We're going to be talking about maybe the single most important thing that you can learn after giving your life to Christ. And let me say this, as you get your notes ready and stuff and find it on YouVersion and everything, for years I've reminded people that when you raise your hand or pray the prayer, however it is that you commit your life to Christ, do you realize that that's only step one, right? At South Point, we don't want you just giving your life to Jesus and then we're still all going to ride the Jesus bus till He comes and gets us and we're just not going to grow and mature and become more like, not at South Point, we're not, amen? We want to constantly be growing. That's one of our core values is transformational living, that in every area of our life, God is in. And He's constantly transforming how we see it, how we work in it, how we live it. So today we're going to talk about, I think, maybe the most important subject, which is prayer. How many of you, by the way, how many of you have prayer perfect? Y'all got prayer all nailed down. It's exactly good, good. So this message is for everybody in here. And I don't have it either, but it's a process of learning our whole lives, isn't it? It's a process of shaping it and understanding our relationship with God and getting better at prayer. I can remember, because I didn't give my life to Christ till I was in college, I can remember, the little Sunday school class that I started going to, which was a mixture of college students and high school students. That's always really cool for the high school students. And not for the college students. But have you ever been in a classroom or a small group or something like that where you do the prayer circle at the end? Have you ever done that? Like where everybody stands up and holds hands? It's very weird for us new believers at the time. And the guy that's kind of leading the group, we said, hey, if everybody, we're just going to stand and we're going to pray. Everybody just hold hands and I'll start praying. He was about three or four people over here. I'll start praying and when I'm done, I'll squeeze your hand. That was the prayer go sign, you know. I'll squeeze your hand, then you pray. And, you know, the whole time it's going on, I'm not even thinking about, I'm not even listening to everybody else's prayer. I'm trying to formulate this amazing, groundbreaking prayer that I'm going to pray when this happens to me, you know, when this happens over here. And then, the fourth person, they prayed my prayer. Has that ever happened to y'all? I want to say, I had dibs on that. You can't. And now if I pray, it's like prayer cheating, right? And I remember it came all the way around to me, and about here, I made the decision. I made the decision that when it got to me, this is what I did. They squeezed my hand, I just squeezed the next hand. Just pass that booker right on, nope, I'm using a mulligan on this one. All right, we're just going to go on. And next time, I'm going to stand next to the person that starts it. I'm going to be on their left. So that I can pray the people's prayer around the other side first. You know how that works, yeah. So even from the beginning, prayer was something that I wanted to know. I used to go to a prayer meeting. My pastor, I asked him, what can I do? What can I, you know, 23 years without Christ, what can I do to catch up, to learn to be more like Jesus, to build my relationship? And he said, well, we have a prayer meeting every morning at 7 o'clock. And I said, I'm there. I don't have class till 8. I can pray about 30 minutes. I got to drive over to Weatherford, go to class. I can do this. And I got there and I've told this story before. It was in the pretty room. which was an extra large classroom off to the side that was peach carpet, peach and yellow walls, mirrors everywhere. Now, this is early 90s, and shaped mirrors everywhere is really weird. All kinds of flower arrangements and peach and orange and yellow furniture. This was not meant for men in this room, okay? And in this prayer room, in the pretty room, there were about three or four elderly ladies, the pastor, and me. But I'm telling you, and you can ask my wife, I was there 5 days a week for about the first 3 or 4 months that I became a believer. And about half the time, this is what I did. I'd kneel down in front of one of the chairs because that's what everybody was doing, and I'd listen. And I'd just listen to the ladies praying. There were some ladies praying fire from heaven in that place and praying for their family members, and they were praying for the pastor on Sunday, and they were praying for problems in their lives and all the different things going on. And I would pray about a third of the time, a quarter of the time, and listen the rest of the time. And if I, you know, if I'd start praying and one of them would get fired up and they, you know, stand up or sit in the chair and start praying, I'd stop praying and just listen again. Because I learned so much from not having parents that prayed, that I could learn from them. I wanted to learn from all of that. The pastor, he walked, so he would walk in and walk down the halls and go back in the fellowship hall and come back. And when he would walk by the pretty room, man, I'd be praying, all right, Lord, and here I'd hear pastor coming, I'd just dial it down. And I'd just listen to pastor pray. And just he's been doing this his whole life. He's been a believer his whole life. He was raised with godly parents, all these things. So I think even now, so it's half of my life, 24 years, I've been a believer now, and I still don't have it all figured out, but I'm sure a lot more comfortable approaching the Lord now and talking to him, because I realize that it's not formal. It's not perfect. Never was, never supposed to be. It's supposed to be a relationship between me and him. And that's what happened one day. Jesus, the passage that we're going to read out today, a couple of passages, but the passage that we're going to read out today, Jesus was with his disciples, and he was praying, and they heard something that they'd never heard before. And I want to remind you, the disciples grew up as Jewish children memorizing prayers, all right? They got the formality down. But when they heard Jesus praying, there was something different that they heard, something that they wanted. You ever been around somebody, you heard them pray, and you go, woo. Wish I could just download that right now. Get some of that. Because I wish I could pray like that. I wish I had that authority or that confidence, whatever that is. Listen to this. And we're going to jump over in Luke chapter 1. There are two passages that this is recorded. Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to take a piece from both so you kind of get a mixture from it. And it says this. In Luke chapter 11, it'll be on the screen for you. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And I want to tell you, that's exactly what Jesus does in this next passage. Many of us in this room, probably most everybody in here, has said this prayer at one time. But being taught this prayer, the first couple of years as me being a believer, that this isn't just the prayer. This isn't an all-encompassing prayer that encompasses every word you're supposed to ever say. And as I became a believer and as I grew in my faith, I realized that so many people, they just prayed this, not understanding what Jesus was teaching. And it was one of the greatest revelations. So here we are toward the second half of summer camp, and I was thinking, what is the greatest thing toward the second half of this series that I can leave? And one of the greatest revelations to me is what this passage meant. What is Jesus unpacking? Listen, if the Son of God says, yes, I'm going to teach you, it's time to understand all of what he's teaching us. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get deep on this. So in the other version of this, or in the other chapter, Matthew chapter 6, this is what Jesus says. You'll be very familiar with this. I had heard it in military movies, even not being in church growing up. So it says this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And everybody said, Right. We've heard that. You've heard that in TV shows. You've heard that in churches, everywhere. But can I tell you something? The revelation of this, as I was taught this the first couple of years as a believer, was this isn't an all-encompassing prayer. This is an outline. These are the headlines of how we should pray. These teach us to pray. When they said, Jesus, teach us to pray, okay, I'm going to give you the outline. I'm going to give you the groundwork. I'm going to give you the skeleton for you to be able to pray and to take the pieces of this, the seven sections of this prayer, the outlines, and break them up, and you can pray confidently with these headings for the rest of your life. You don't always have to pray the seven together. I've learned that when I take pieces of them, if going through one thing, I'll take one line that day. I'm going through temptations. I say, all right, Lord, I know you said you won't lead me into temptation. How about you not let me be led into temptation today? How about the second half of that? You deliver me from evil today. I'm feeling weak as a kitten. that big roaring lion, the devil is over there. Lord, would you lead me out of this today? Just one section. But it helps me to understand the process. That makes sense? All right, you got your notes? Elbow your neighbor. Say, this is going to be a good one. Oh, some of you are not playing my game. Okay, now elbow your other neighbor and tell them, say, okay, you too. Remember, it's summer camp. We got to have fun, right? So the first section is this. Maybe one of my favorites, but the first section is this. The first line says, Our Father in Heaven. Our Father in Heaven. What? How does that teach us? How does that teach us to pray? One of the most powerful, one of the most spiritual things you'll ever do in your life is to pray. And he says, start it like this. Our Father in Heaven. And it connects to me. It connects with God relationally. Relationally. I want you to get this just for a second. This is a short one, but it's so important. How many names, just throw out a number, yell it out, holler it out. How many names in the Bible have you heard God called? Different names. I mean, 20, 30, 40. I mean, I've seen posters that just have like 30 or 40 on each side of the different amazing names that people have called God, that God's called himself in the Bible. And listen, so get this. When the Son of God is able to say one name, this is how you connect with God. This is how you start praying. My Father who is in heaven. Not a formal name, but a relational name. A name that has to do with who you are to him. You understand that? The whole premise of the teaching that Jesus is teaching is, you do understand your relationship to God, don't you? That's how he starts this. You understand that he's your dad. You understand that he's your father. That he is not some giant king sitting up there that only wants to lord over you. First and foremost, the name that he could choose out of all the names is not the Lion of Judah who roars. It's your Father. He wants you. God, Jesus, is expressing. Here's how you start your prayer. Dad. Father. And I know from years in ministry that not all in this room have grown up with an incredible father figure that we immediately just pair those two together and go, oh yeah, my dad and God the Father. And that's why it's so important for us to have a relationship with God. So that we don't just pair our earthly fathers with our heavenly father. My earthly fathers, even no matter how good they are, they're always going to fall short of God. God wants you and I to have a relationship with him. For me, he proves that in Matthew 6 by saying, of all the names, what can we call you, God? Here, I'll teach you. How about Father? Father, of all the names, I want you to start with a relational atmosphere when you come to me. Listen to this in Romans 8. Paul, writing to the Romans again, he says, Romans 8:15, he says, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit. Okay, so get what we just learned, that God wants a relationship with us. He wants that relational approach. But listen to how Paul finishes this out. You've received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Come on, somebody say amen, like you're getting this, right? I mean, we're God's kids. Have we gotten so used to that? Like the creator of the heaven and the earth just adopted us, and we're like, yep, that's cool. I'm used to it. No, are you kidding me? I know what he forgave me of. Anybody there with me? and you still wanted to adopt me? I was the problem kid. You still wanted me, right? Whatever the reason or excuse, when he adopted us, and he goes on, and now we call him Abba, Father. Paul understood that, and is trying to get these believers in Rome to understand the same thing that Jesus taught his disciples. When we approach God, first and foremost, let that outline teach us that this, all of our prayers, this all-encompassing understanding is that it's a relational contact with him. It's a relational connection with him, that he is our Father. Amen? That's good stuff. How many remember the Garden of Eden, by the way? What did God do in the evening? It said that he created Adam and Eve, and in the evenings, the cool of the evenings, what Scripture says, God would come down and walk and talk with Adam and Eve. That's in the first couple of chapters of the Bible. Can I tell you what he says he's going to do in the last couple of chapters of the Bible? He said, I'm going to recreate heaven and earth, and once again, God will fellowship with man. Can I tell you, you can take the first two chapters, last two chapters, you can take out everything in the middle. I'm not talking about Jesus. Don't send me that email, okay? And you can put those two together, and here is the perfect will of God. God created everything that ever existed so that he could have a relationship with you and me. And he said, no matter how bad sin messed it up, one of these days, I'm going to be hanging out with my kids again. Y'all stay faithful. Y'all build a relationship through prayer, because one of these days, we're going to fellowship again. Amen? Woo! I'm preaching. I don't know if y'all get it or not, but or really good teaching, either one. I don't know. You can throw that back and forth. Okay, the second one is this, and I'm going to have to go because get it, because we got a bunch to go through today. It's awesome. The second passage, it leads us right into that, is hallowed be your name. I prayed the first couple of years, I prayed that having no idea what it meant. Anybody with me on that? Have you ever prayed that? Yeah, y'all liars. Y'all have too. I prayed that for years going, hallowed, hallowed, hallowed. I don't know what that means, but it says to pray it, so I'm praying it. I'll figure it out later. And I never forget when I was being taught this, and they said, well, hallowed is holy ground. Like hallowed ground is holy ground. It's an understanding that even though we have this relationship with God, that his ways are higher than our ways, that he is divine, that he is supernatural, that his thinking is above our thinking. Like he's omniscient and omnipresent and all of those omni words. That's God. He is holy. And even though I run and approach him with confidence, he deserves for me to understand who he is, right? He deserves to understand. Listen to what Proverbs 18 says. It says, God's name is a place of protection. The righteous can run there and be safe. So what I get out of hallowed be thy name is that, like, holy is your name. God is directing me through this name that we learn about in Proverbs, through the hallowed be your name that Jesus teaches on. God is directing me to, number two, is to worship his name, to understand what that name, even if you just stick on the name Father, if you stick on the name the Lion of Judah, if you stick on the name my high fortress, all the names that God, when you read them throughout Scripture, you understand the name of God represents winning in my life. It represents salvation in my life. It represents hope in my life. I'm talking about things I can't get anywhere else. Real quick, what does God represent in your life? What does Jesus represent in your life that you can't get anywhere else? Is it the joy that he brings? Is it the confidence that he brings? Think about those things. When we worship him, may we understand our Father and how holy he is and what only he can bring to our lives. Nothing else on this planet can. Which leads me right into number three, and it says this: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen, every time I approach God, I have an ongoing list, okay? Before I get into my list, my needs, my friends' needs, our church's needs, all the different things that I have to pray for, that line, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth, in my life, in my family, in my career, in my finances, in my health, all of that, your will be done just like it is in heaven, teaches me to pray his agenda. Teaches me to pray God's will first. Can I tell you what, like, God's prayer list is? Let me tell you, it's one word. We talk about it a lot at South Point. It's called others. It's called others. When you look at God's agenda throughout Scripture, it is for others. It is to provide the way for others, to provide protection for others, provide lives for others, provide the potential for others. It is to provide for others. And when we pray His agenda and His will be done, it is a great way for us to slow our roll a little bit as we come in to pray to God and to flip the agenda and say, Lord, first and foremost, before I get into me, let's pray Your agenda first. How about that? Amen? And that's when I begin to pray for. Can I just tell you what? I prayed for President Obama for 8 years. Yep, I didn't get one amen on that. Y'all are mean people. You know what I'm saying? No matter, I pray for President Trump since he was elected. Now y'all are amen and y'all. What I'm saying is, no matter who is in the office, who I voted for, whatever the situation is, that's nowhere in Scripture. God says for me to pray for the leaders who are directing the people of this world. Amen? To pray for those people. So that's not my agenda. Some of those people, I go, ooh, if they just get run over by a train, that'd be Scott's agenda. Y'all not supposed to be so happy about that. But it flips the script and allows me to pray God's agenda. I pray for our government leaders. I pray for my kids' teachers because they're speaking into my kids' lives. I pray for the situations that I understand that need to be prayed for before I get to me. Because that's God's agenda. God, how about Your will happen on earth in my life just like it happens in heaven? Amen? First and foremost, Your will. What's the best will? Is it Scott's will? Absolutely not. I say things all the time. I'm for sure about this. And 2 weeks later, I'm going, that was totally wrong. Because I don't understand the whole world. I don't understand people. I don't understand every situation. But I do pray to God and ask for His will to come because He does understand every situation. We were singing about the mountains earlier. I would say that we don't see a way around, but guess what? God already sees a way around. He's just waiting for us to get to listening to Him, to get to walking with Him so that we can follow Him around every mountain in our life. Amen? Whew. It's good stuff. Matthew 6:33 says this, and pray His agenda, says, seek first His kingdom. Isn't that funny how Jesus was congruent in everything that He taught? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek God's agenda first in life. And then what will happen? Everything else. All these other things that you're asking for, all the things that are necessary for your life, all the things, hold on, here we're going to even get deeper. All the things necessary to bring about God's will in your life will be added to your life. Let me ask you a big, deep question, then I'm going to run for cover, okay? Do you want anything to happen in your life that's not God's will? Then shouldn't we pray that every time? First and foremost, Lord, before I get to asking stuff that may or may not be according to Your will, how about Your will happen in my life? Your kingdom happen in my life. Amen? Number four is this, the next verse. Then we jump into our needs. It says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. It teaches me, no matter how much money I make, no matter how successful I am, no matter how many amens I get, no matter how many high fives in my life, no matter how many doors open my direction, it teaches me to depend on my Father in heaven for everything. For everything. You know, there have been times in my life when I worked really, really, really hard for something, and then I accomplished that, and at first, it was really hard for me to give God credit for that because I didn't see Him working really, really hard. I just saw me working really, really hard. And then I read over, I don't even have it today, but I read over in Deuteronomy where it said, who is it that gives you the ability to gain success and wealth? Your Father. And it was one of the most humble. I was 10 years old in Christ. It had been 10 years, and I read that scripture, and it clicked. Like God said, you better make sure you understand that I give you the ability to do everything you do. Not just bless you on top of that with the success or the wealth or the prosperity or whatever it is, but I give you the ability to walk through life. I give you the ability for everything. It's strange sometimes with my family when I go, you know what, Lord, thank you for my eyeballs. Thank you for the air in my lungs. Have you ever had a broke leg and couldn't walk for a couple of months? Thank you, Lord, that I can stand upright and walk. You know what I'm saying? understanding that every single thing that I have comes from him. That's where, give us today our daily bread, give us our daily needs today. It reminds me that every single thing I have, no matter how much I have, everything is a blessing from him. Amen? I hope y'all are getting this. I'm loving it. Psalm 121 says this, and he affirms this. He says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? Let me help you to understand this for a minute. A lot of times we look at this in Psalm and we think that that's heaven. But what he's actually talking about is symbolic of the Israeli government at the time. The government was up on the mountain, Capitol Hill up there. So what he's asking is, hey, I look to the government. Does the government give me everything I need? Come on, can I get a big no? Right. I would like less government and more of God in my life. How about that? And so my prayer is, I mean, let me finish this, and then my help, does my help come from there? No, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now that doesn't mean that, again, it doesn't mean that I'm against the government, doesn't mean that, that's not what this scripture is saying, is he against the government? He's understanding that even with the help, the leadership, the structure, all those things in my life that are working, even with my strength and my gifts and my abilities, do you understand where your help comes from? Do you understand where the strength in your life comes from? Yes, Lord, I understand that you give me my daily bread. Amen? That you give me my daily needs in life. Number five is this. He's getting serious now. He's forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Whew. Now, here's a deep one. I'm going to go quick over this because it's painful. Number five, it reminds me of this. To get my heart right with God and with people. To get my heart right with God and with people. See, I think there's two parts. In the beginning of this, he says, forgive us of our debts or our sins. Forgive us of our sins. And how am I asking you to forgive me? I'm asking you, God, to forgive me in direct correlation to how I forgive other people. When we talk about at South Point, out here on this lobby wall, it says, our purpose, to love God and love people. And when we talk to people about that, we've been interviewing student pastors, getting ready to hire another student pastor to come in here. And when we tell them, here's our purpose. Here's our purpose, mission, vision, everything rolled into one is what God says in Matthew 28, is to love God and to love people, because every mission and vision comes out of that. And I want you to see that even throughout Scripture, even Jesus teaching, all right, I'm going to give you seven headlines how to pray, and one of them is about God and people in direct correlation. You can't divide that up. You can't split that up. Listen, I'm not knocking any other religion that wants to, you know, shave their head and go sit in a monastery for 20 years to learn God's word. That's awesome. But I read God's word, and God's word says that the other half of my discipleship comes through other people. Half of it's through loving God, and half of it's through learning to love people. Amen? Learning to forgive my neighbor. Can I get an amen? Amen. Learning to forgive my in-laws. Can I get an amen? Yeah, woo. Kind of get in trouble. Learning to pray for Josh. Yeah. I love it. Our forgiveness and our relationship with God, we understand that. Even last week when we talked about the cross. The cross is symbolic of our relationship with God and our relationship with people. That's what it's all about. When we kneel and pray and we ask God, say, God, I'm asking that you'd forgive me of my past. Forgive me of my sins I did today. I knew that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I was weak. I had a bad. Remember that when somebody sins against you. It's the same thing. Be quick to forgive, Scripture tells us. Amen? Let's be quick to forgive. So when we approach God, we can approach him with confidence, knowing there's no baggage. I'm not bringing any unforgiveness with me. Amen? So much. And I just thought it was like seven little sentences. Jesus said, I'm gonna teach you how the world rolls in these seven sentences. Number six, he says this, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's not the greatest translation. The Greek flips those words and says, lead us away from temptation. Lead us away from temptation and deliver us from evil. And what it teaches me is to engage in spiritual warfare. Now, some of you that have a struggle with the spiritual things, with the supernatural things, sometimes when we start talking about supernatural things, it gets a little different, it gets a little weird. Let me just tell you, it's there. The supernatural is there. In fact, I'm afraid that when we go spiritual one of these days, that we're going to look back and go, well, the physical was about this much and the rest of it was supernatural. And as soon as we learn to pray, to engage our spiritual father supernaturally, and learn to engage the spiritual things that come against us in our lives, and say, you know what, Lord, I may walk off into a spot that I didn't understand was temptation, but my prayer is today, as I start this morning and pray, that you would lead me away from temptation. Maybe I don't even see it. Maybe I don't even know to avoid it, but you would lead me away from temptation, and if I fall in the hole, that you would be my strength and deliver me out of it. Amen? Man, how many times have I been knee-deep and said, yep, sorry, Dad. Sorry, Dad, here's my six-year-old son going, help, I've fallen in the hole. And I go, no, you ought to be smarter than that. Get yourself out of that hole. Any dad do that? Don't shake your head yes if you do. All right, just pretend all of us don't. No, what we'd immediately do if our kid's sitting there in the hole, we pick our kid out because that's what our genetic makeup is. We protect our kids. And that's why we start with Father in heaven, so that when we come to these things like, God, will you lead me out of temptation and deliver me from evil? If I get myself, will you pick me out of the hole and deliver me from that so it doesn't cause harm? God says, absolutely yes. Amen? Listen to this. You have an enemy. Ephesians 6 says this. Our struggle, man, I love this. If it doesn't get any plainer than this, we ought to understand it. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world. Amen? And against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Now, let me just be really honest with you as the pastor. I don't understand all that. I understand it more now than I did 20 years ago. And as things happen, and I go, oh, that was spiritual. I connect the dots now because I'm learning more of God's word. Every year goes by. I'm understanding how to connect this to this. I believe there is a spiritual world that we cannot see. It was crazy when Elijah came out with his servant and they were surrounded by the bad guy's army. And Elijah said, we got this. We're gonna whoop these guys. And the servant said, what are you talking about? It's like six of us against thousands. And Elijah, what did he do? He prayed. And he said, hey, Lord, Father, open his eyes so that he could see. Were his physical eyes open? Yeah, his physical eyes were open. He was looking. He was adding up the numbers. But all of a sudden, something supernatural happened where he could see the spiritual things that were out there, the angels that were behind the bad guys, ready, waiting on the order from God to finish the bad guys off if they came against God's people. Let me just tell you, a lot of times when I pray, that's what I'm praying right there. Lord, that army of big old Arnold Schwarzeneggers, you know, the big old Stallones with like M60s and stuff, Lord, that's the kind of angels I'm praying for right now. See, these things coming against me, I don't know if that's how it all works, but God gets my heart. Y'all know what I'm saying? Those things coming against me, I want you to first elbow them out of the way. If it's a person, just elbow them out of the way. Understand this is not flesh and blood. This is a spiritual thing. Elbow them out of the way. If it doesn't happen, trains are fine. Bombs are fine. You just do whatever needs to happen. And I say that a little bit in jest, but what I'm saying is I understand that in this physical world, there is a predominant spiritual force that is working for us is God, and against us is Satan. And if I read my word correctly, Satan doesn't win. God's going to win. Already we know that. We've already read the end of the book, right? And we know that Satan's not near as powerful. You know, do you know something? Let me give you a great word of advice or a teaching today, revelation. Satan's not omnipresent. Y'all know that? He just won. However many demons he has, he just won, each of them. God understands all things, all situations, all sides, backwards, middle, front. God's got it. We're on the winning side. It's learning to pray that. It's learning to trust that. It's learning to say, Lord, I understand there's spiritual warfare going on. Help me win through it. Amen. And the last one is this. He ends it just like he starts it. Jesus said, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. All of these things that we've just prayed, why don't we put a bow on this and express, this is what we learned, to express our faith in God's ability. Amen. Everything I've just prayed for today, that you would work out situations with my boss, that you would work out situations with my marriage, that you'd work out situations with my kids at school, that you would work out situations with this clunker of a car I drive, that you would work out situations in my mind and in my heart that I'm dealing with. Listen, all of this stuff that we've been praying, how about at the end we just pray just that thing right there? All right, here it is, Lord, for yours, what yours is what I'm praying for. Yours is the kingdom. You're going to establish it. Yours is the ability to do all of these things that I've prayed for. Amen. That's my faith today. And I love to wrap it up with this verse. In Jeremiah 32, it says this: O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great and outstretched arm. And he ends it with my favorite. There's times when I don't remember Jeremiah. I just go, you know, Lord, somewhere back over there in Jeremiah, it says that nothing is too hard for you. So all these things that I've prayed today, I'm just going to end it like this. For yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever and ever, because nothing is too hard for you. Because nothing is too hard for you. It doesn't pull any strength away from God to do these things. It doesn't overwhelm him. He doesn't need to rest. The Bible says that he's awake while you're sleeping. He's watching over you while you're resting. God's always working his will in our lives. And I hope and pray today that these seven little sentences, that these titles, that these headlines, this outline will give you a revival in your prayer life, will help you to understand that God wants a relationship with you. There's things going on that we need to be praying for physically and spiritually. And all the reason that he asks us to pray is because he's capable of doing it all. Amen? He is more than capable. He says, how do you approach me? Say, hey, Father. You know, every now and then I catch myself. I'll be driving or something. Father, thank you for air in my lungs. Thank you. This is going to be a great day, Dad. And I even quite like, should I call him Dad? Is that? Listen, I thought the whole point of that was to not be formal, was to be relational. My dad in heaven, I can do that. Yeah. I don't think God will send me to hell for that. All of these things, Jesus sat with the disciples and taught this little group of prayer so that you and I could have greater strength in our life, greater victories in our life, greater understanding of who God is in our life, so that as we walk through life, we grow in our relationship with him. Amen? Would you close your eyes with me today as we pray? And I want to pray for a revival in our lives also. I want to pray that God would spark something new and fresh for our desire to pray to God, for our desire to approach him. But I also this morning want to pray for those in this room. First this morning, I want to pray this. For those that don't know God as their Father. If you came in here today and you hear all this relationship talk and all this talk about how kind Jesus is and he wants to forgive you and he's got a plan for your life, and yet you don't know him as your Father, your spiritual Father, your Savior, your best friend, I want to pray for you today. And I'm going to pray right now for that. And as I pray, I want to ask you to do something. If that's you, if you're making that decision, will you just tell him, say, Lord, that's me. Be my Savior. Be my Father. Teach me your ways. As I pray, you pray with me. All right, let's do that. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And thank you that your agenda is what's going to happen. And thank you that you allow us in on that. You allow us to pray. You allow us to see spiritual things, and throughout our life, we get to connect the dots with our life and what's going on spiritually. But Lord, I think my favorite part of all of that is that first line that says, our Father who is in heaven. So for anybody in this room today, Lord, that doesn't know you, as I pray, they right now are making that prayer known to you. They're telling you, they're talking to you. They're saying, that's me, God. I pray you would do what your word says. As we open our hearts, you say that your spirit comes in that changes us from the inside out. That you would touch our hearts and our souls, that you would forgive us of our past, that you'd forgive us of our mistakes and our sins, that you recreate a heart's desire to be with you, Lord. And that from this day forward, you begin to teach them your ways, Jesus. You begin to teach them by your spirit how to live for you, by your word, how to walk for you. And Lord, all of us in this room, we're going to help them out. We're going to help them do what you've helped us to do to this very day, to live for you. I thank you for loving us, Lord. I thank you for providing your word. And Jesus, can I just say, I'm so thankful that you taught us how to pray. I love you, Lord. It's in your name that we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.